Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin have called access to mental health care an issue that needs attention. And last year, a bipartisan task force on suicide prevention released a series of recommendations to the legislature. On Tuesday, Governor Tony Evers signed one of those recommendations to provide grants for peer-to-peer suicide prevention programs in schools. There have been disagreements, too. In last year's state budget process, the Republican-controlled legislature approved less money for mental health care in schools than the governor requested. Republicans criticized Evers in November for redirecting money meant for a mental health center in northwestern Wisconsin. We'll talk to two state lawmakers this hour about what action they want to see when it comes to mental health care in Wisconsin. Jonathan Brostoff joins us first. He's a Democrat representing the state's 19th Assembly District in Milwaukee. He sits on the Assembly's Committee on Mental Health and is part of the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. Representative Brostoff, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, from where you're sitting in your district in the Milwaukee area, what do you see as some of the most pressing mental health needs there?
I think there's kind of two main areas of focus here, but it's actually from my travels across the state, not unique to Milwaukee or to my district. One is the need for increased capacity. We have to focus more on preventative services and make sure that places, for example, like the Grand Avenue Club and other clubhouse models are able to let folks in and have the capacity to bring people in and to kind of foster a better environment for folks who are struggling with their mental health from time to time. And we also need to work on the issue of firearm access. The two things we kind of heard over and over and over across the state were exactly what was echoed back in my district. Means matter, that firearms are a huge portion of the suicide situation in Wisconsin, and that we need to really invest in capacity for preventative measures so that we don't have as many, for example, Chapter 51s or emergency detentions or other kind of out-of-control situations. We want to get to people when we can make sure that they have, you know, they're in need of proper access to medication or therapies or peer support groups or things so that it doesn't escalate to those levels. And those are the two areas we need to focus on.
Before we dig deeper into those particular solutions, do you get a sense that people are feeling an urgency about these issues, both the constituents you talk to around the state and people in the legislature and governor's office?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health put out a new report this week. One of their findings said that we need 117 more psychiatrists to meet the needs for children in the state. Mm-hmm. So that gets to that capacity issue you were talking about. What do you think the state could do to fill some of those needed positions?
Absolutely. Well, one thing we could do is expand Medicaid, Badger Care here in Wisconsin, and make sure that we have more appropriate reimbursement rates. We basically have these wildly important services, but for purely political reasons and because they want to kind of oppose Barack Obama, even though he's no longer president, the extremists in control of the Republican Party right now have said, we're not going to take the expansion here in Wisconsin. And that has meant a lot of suffering, but it also means that reimbursement rates aren't where they need to be. And that's something we hear over and over and over. If you can't pay people enough, it's harder to have a sustainable business model where people want to locate in Wisconsin. There are other things we could do, such as, you know, if people work here for long enough, we can take care of your tuition, and there might be other incentives. But at the end of the day, the reimbursement rates are kind of the biggest story around town that, unfortunately, the Republicans in charge for, you know, I think incredibly selfish and horrible political reasons have chosen not to take on.
Yesterday, as I mentioned, Governor Evers signed this bill to provide grants for peer-to-peer suicide prevention programs in schools. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of bipartisan support. You were one of the two people, I think, in the Assembly to vote against it. Why did you oppose that particular bill?
Well, as I actually was interviewed recently and kind of wrote a pretty long piece about this, I don't oppose that particular bill in specific. I voted against the whole package, and I had a floor speech explaining exactly why. But I'm all for peer-to-peer programs. In fact, I've worked and volunteered in them before I was in the legislature. I've seen it firsthand. I've bought my colleague, who's going to be joining us later, Representative Tittle, down to one in Milwaukee that I used to volunteer at called Dry Hooch for Veterans. And I strongly believe in the model. And in fact, I think we need more support. What I wasn't willing to do was allow myself to be a pawn in the game of politics here, because I don't think it's a game. We need a significant increase in capacity capacity, a significant investment. And what we were faced with was the was below the minimum level of acceptability for standards as far as investment in mental health. And what we saw was a bunch of politicians running around the state, breaking their arms, patting themselves on the back over doing the bare minimum. And I say, no, I think we should expect more of our elected officials. We are in a crisis situation. We don't need a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there. We're talking about close to 60 or 70 million of investment. And unfortunately, the people running the state right now and people like Robin Voss and other Republicans can find billions of dollars for extreme corporate welfare overnight. But when it comes to literally saving lives and doing what it takes to help people who are in horrible situations and situations I've been in before, you know, they can't lift a finger because it's too expensive. I don't accept that.
Well, is there a case to be made for doing some now, some in the next session, taking small wins and building from there?
So I would actually not classify it. I think the framing of that's completely backwards. I think it's a huge loss, meaning the opportunity cost of not spending the money to save the lives now and until the next cycle. Those, you know, might sound like a lot, $10 million, $20 million, $50, $60 million for investing in this sort of healthcare. But when you look at it, it's actually much better fiscally. You know, it's much better as a return on investment because you're saving people from these emergency situations, but you're also saving lives and you're saving family members and all the kind of horrific echoes throughout the community that these sorts of situations find people in. And if we're not willing to invest in that, I'm not going to take a victory lap. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to break my arm patting myself on the back, and I will not play that sort of game. That's not what I was brought here to do. I was brought here to bring attention to an incredibly serious issue, and that's what my vote was about.
Now, you mentioned, you talked about the peer-to-peer suicide prevention programs, the schools. You mentioned Dry Hooch. We've talked to some of the organizers of one of those in the state for veterans. Can you talk about that peer-to-peer model?
Absolutely. Well, it's a really smart idea that's kind of come into favor over the last 10 or 15 years in Wisconsin, but it's actually something I participated in years ago as well. And it's based off of having people with lived experience and who can understand what folks are going through and relate to them on a very kind of personal level because of their experience, working with other people who are in sometimes very desperate situations and even sometimes in crisis. And there's, I think, just inherent level of understanding and empathy that is really helpful with a model like that. And it's also statistically proven to be very successful. Dry Hooch, as you mentioned, and I talked about before, that is a great example, but there's plenty across the state. And it's a great model. It's very effective, and we need to be serious in investing in that sort of model, and that's what I'd like to see in Wisconsin.
We've talked recently on the show about the number of people, not just in Wisconsin, around the country who are in jails or prisons and have a mental health concerns. And, you know, some of the largest mental health providers in the country are jail systems in big cities. What do you see as needs in Wisconsin when it comes to mental health and the incarceration system?
You're absolutely right. One of the biggest quote-unquote providers of and houses of people who are in need of mental health services are our jails and prisons, and that's completely inappropriate. They are not, you know, first of all, they're not set up for that, and second of all, most importantly, they're not able to provide the important and necessary treatment when someone's going through that sort of a health crisis. So, again, that actually brings us back to the original point, which is we have to build preventative care models. We have to focus on prevention, not on punishment. And we want to get to people before they reach crisis level. And that involves building capacity on the front end. And that's the thing, too, you know, just quite frankly, that really upsets me in this world of politics. When you're talking about things like corporate welfare, like the Foxconn or Fiserv or all these huge bailouts, it's like, well, if we put all this money into these corporation hands, these billionaires and millionaires, you know, maybe they'll create jobs on the back end and that'll be great for us. If we put the money into these preventative services and gave people access to healthcare, not only would they be more productive, society members and paying taxes and working and all that sort of stuff, but it's the morally right thing to do. Aside from how much you want to, it makes sense as far as purely fiscal arguments, but it also makes sense morally. And quite frankly, I think that's been the biggest failing of this whole experience for me. And one, I was, that really kind of got to me on a personal level, if I'm being, you know, totally frank with you.
What is it about the mental health issue that that you made you want to focus on a particular as a state representative?
Well, I've personally struggled a lot with, you know, my own mental health issues and my bipolar disease, which has, you know, been something that's given me a lot of firsthand experience, but also a lot of understanding into what it's like to be in that crisis mentality, to what it's like going through suicidal ideations and actions. And I also had a very close friend who recently committed suicide, whose mom is also very close with me, that was one of my regular card, you know, we would play cards together on a regular basis, and he was coming over to my house for one of our card games, and, you know, everyone else showed up, and he wasn't there, and he said, oh, I'm not feeling too good, I don't know if I can make it, because we're all saying, hey, you know, we'll see you tonight, and sending, and he was doing, and we knew he had struggles, but he was doing better at that time, and was talking about pursuing some stand-up comedy stuff. He's a very funny guy, but he made a really severe Facebook post, and someone saw it right away on their phone. We called the police, and it was too late, and he had shot himself. And you know, I've had other situations like that, although that was one that was very recent and glaring to me. But you know, these lived experiences as lawmakers, we're just people. I'm just a person like anyone else, and it does carry as kind of heavy weight with you as a person and as someone who wants to do better and see better. And the last thing that the last message he gave to the world was, it's messed up that this situation, that I can get a gun with my mental health problems, messed up this happened to me, and I asked that someone do something about this. And you know, his last thing was to say, can someone else please do something so that this can't happen, and I don't want other people to have to suffer the way I suffered. You know, his last thing on earth was an act of kindness to reach out to help others. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to try and fulfill that wish.
I'm sorry for that loss of your friend. Do you hear stories like this as you go around the state talking to people?
Yeah. Actually, we met with all these different organizations, with LGBTQ plus youth organizations, and with military and cops and veterans, and with the farmers, and all these. We had kind of different focuses in each of the task force led by Representative Ballweg, who did a great job with that. But pretty much across the board, we kept hearing the same sort of the through line was that, although they had very different experiences and even professions and things like that, that was the through line. Yeah.
We were talking with Democratic State Representative Jonathan Brostoff. Coming up in a few moments, Republican Paul Tittle joins us. They're both on the State Assembly's Mental Health Committee. We're talking about mental health issues in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want lawmakers to know about mental health care needs in your part of the state? The number is 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about mental health needs, mental health access in Wisconsin. We've been hearing from Representative Jonathan Brostoff, a Democrat who stays with us in our Milwaukee studio. Now, Representative Paul Tittle, a Republican, joins us both on a key committee on these issues. Representative Tittle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, good. It's good to be on the air with you, Rob.
And can you talk, we've been hearing from Representative Brostoff about some of his priorities. What do you see as some of Wisconsin's biggest needs when it comes to mental health access?
Well, there's a. I think one of the greatest things is a workforce shortage. We have a very large workforce shortage in the mental health field, and I've heard it for time and time again. Way back when I was first serving on the Speaker's Task Force for Mental Health, we actually had meetings all across the state of Wisconsin. And when we were done, we had some bills that came out of that. And this is back in like 2013. It was just in my first term as a state representative. Then we meet with the speaker after the election in 14. And so in 15, we meet with the speaker and he says, what committees do you want to serve on and what have you, various things. And I said, well, I'll be very honest with you. I said, quite frankly, our work on mental health is far from over. And a day later, he calls me up and he says, Paul, would you care about, or would you want to be chairing a committee on mental health? And I go, well, you do know I'm not a counselor, a psychologist or psychiatrist or anything like that. And he said, no, but he said, you care. And that's what we do. And I'm very thankful that Robin Voss saw that need for a mental health committee within the Wisconsin State Assembly, and I've been chairing it ever since. So I think the number one thing that we've heard beyond stigma is that there is a workforce shortage, a shortage of getting in to people that can provide the help on mental health. Unfortunately, I had a meeting just last year with a gentleman that from the Milwaukee area, from Jonathan's area, and he was telling me a story about his son had a mental health issues, and finally the son agreed to get some help, and it was months before they could get him in to get the help that he needed. And in between time, unfortunately, the young man decided to end his own life and committed suicide. And I just broke my heart because there's people out there that need the help, and we need to get them the help now. And that's why we've crafted one of the bills that I've crafted is the income tax credit deduction for allowing you come to Wisconsin and practice psychiatry. And if you come and you practice in psychiatry in Wisconsin and get licensed as a new psychiatrist in Wisconsin, and you serve in an underserved area, you can earn up to $200,000 of income tax-free money. And if you serve in anywhere in Wisconsin, you would get up to $100,000 of income tax-free, which it's kind of like the loan repayment program for in underserved areas when you have physicians that serve in that area. And I believe that that is really... I want to attract people here to Wisconsin to help the people of Wisconsin. Now, if that means that we steal them away from Missouri or Illinois or Indiana or whatever, I'm okay with that because my job is to help and protect the people in the state of Wisconsin. And that bill is unfortunate. Now, we've had that out a couple of different times. The biggest problem with that one is I think we get scored on a fiscal bureau. We get a fiscal memo on it on what's it going to cost. And they don't look at the dynamic scoring, which means that, helping people get the help that they need prevents them from getting into Winnebago or Mendota or whatever at like $1,100 per day at either one of them institutions. And a lot of times that comes back on our local counties. And they don't realize also that these people are not here right now. These psychiatrists are not here, so they're not paying anything in taxes right now. So it's a little frustration on my part, and because I think it would be we need to get more people here helping people in Wisconsin.
I had asked our listeners to call in with a story. Ellen joins us in Cedarburg. Ellen, hello.
Hi. Sorry. Hi, Jonathan. You are my representative. Well, I live in River West, and I respect your work a lot. The gentleman that just spoke, unfortunately, it's very true that it's very, very hard to find psychiatric help out here. It took me almost a year to find a new psychiatrist. But I did want to say that there was a program that I was part of that saved my life out at Cook County Mental Hospital. It was a day treatment program, and they kept me there for as long as I needed. There was so much care and excellent care, and I do mean it when I say it saved my life and many other people who I was there with.
Ellen, where was that, Ellen?
That Cook was County. At Milwaukee Mental Health Complex, and it was called the DBT program. It was a day treatment program, and it is no longer funded there. It was miracle working, and I hope we can do it again.
Ellen, thanks.
Was the DBT, was that dialectical behavioral therapy?
Yes.
I'm actually working, I have a group across the state I'm working on right now on that very issue and making sure we can I haven't introduced it because there's a significant amount of background work we're going to have to do because it's a relatively new practice in Wisconsin. But rest assured, we're working on it, and we're going to have something very soon that hopefully you'll be proud of and we can get back. And I agree with you. It's a great tool in the toolkit. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that story. Representative Tittle, Representative Brostoff was saying earlier, we're doing a lot of small things. He says we need a bigger, more holistic, and a bigger investment in mental health than we're doing, and we're kind of nibbling around the edges. Do you see a need for kind of a bigger across-the-board approach?
Well, I'm always for more help for people with for mental health issues. So I think we can actually do a lot of different things. We have another bill that I know Jonathan is a co-sponsor with me on, is the Mental Health Clubhouse Bill. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that there's clubhouses, like they have one in Milwaukee. We have one in Manitowoc called Painting Pathways. It's a drop-in place where people with diagnosed mental health issues can actually go during the day. They can help them with work search. They can help them with food and navigating the system. And they're great places, and they save the taxpayers a lot of money. So we had an idea that after meeting with them, myself and Senator Lemieux from the Oostburg area, we thought, well, why they have to raise so much money because they're not funded by state money at all. And we thought if they were able to get a matching grant funding, and we've done it for a lot of different programs around the state where we could match up to $50,000, it would help them to maybe get a second person there, because basically it's run by one person in Manitowoc. I'm not sure what the Milwaukee clubhouse is. I know there's a clubhouse in Madison. These are accredited clubhouses that are not, they're not just somebody just opening up a storefront. These are accredited clubhouses with mental health professionals that can actually help people, and they just work fantastic.
And just a brief thought, we're just about out of time, Representative Rostoff.
Yes, I agree. And I will say, you know, I do not question Paul's passion on this, and we've worked together on a bunch, and I had a similar idea, and often is the case in the legislature, especially before Evers was there, if a Democrat comes up with an idea, you give your bill to a Republican to help usher it through, and I handed over my clubhouse idea to Paul for that, and he's been, you know, great as far as seeing the vision for it. We haven't been able to get it passed yet, but we do need to focus on prevention, not punishment. We should have mental health facilities in the same way of other healthcare facilities. When people can get access to liver treatment or other things, it should be treated the exact same way. Remove the stigma and not treat it in our jails and prisons, because it's not appropriate. I still don't understand how we can have so much money for extreme corporate welfare and for billionaires and millionaires. We can't give the appropriate resources to the people who need it most.
We have to jump in. We are just about out of time. A lot more we could get into. Thanks to both of our guests, Republican Paul Tittle and Democrat Jonathan Brostoff, both state lawmakers on the Assembly Committee on Mental Health.